But just this morning in prayer time, I want to start in a different way. A few of you probably watch the news occasionally, right? So what has happened overnight with the attack on Iran, with the U.S. and the Israel forces? Pump the brakes. There's always geopolitical stuff involved at any time. And we're not getting into that right now. I want to go to the Bible right now with some things, and things that we know, but it's a good reassurance and a good time. I just feel led to do this now, today, because I have everything else, and we'll see how far we get. But it's so important when we read the news what our response is as Christ followers. Reaction and response are two different things. They may start out the same, but they lead in two different directions. But what is our response as Christians? I think if you remember with the end of age that we talked about for about 3 or 4 weeks, I think at the end of last year, you know, we've got to be careful. And then even hearing last week about not getting distracted with things, you know, and what is the Bible saying about things, and then what is the Holy Spirit leading us into? I see where this goes. I just feel to read Mark 24 right now. Many of us know this, know Mark 24, but even this morning was like, whoa, things are jumping here. It was either that or my English muffin, but Matthew 24, many of us know it well, and we've recited it, we pull scriptures from it, we build beliefs around it, which is good, but this is Jesus, in the flesh, divine human, talking to the disciples about things that are about to unfold. Yes, Jesus spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelations, and that's true too. That's in our Gospels in the Revelation. And that whole Revelation is revealing the supremacy of Jesus coming back and the wrath of God that is happening. And symbolism and real and timelines. And we're going to get into that at some point. But this scene here is pretty authentic because it's Jesus talking to other human beings, disciples, about what's going to happen. And I just want to focus on chapter 24 in that context, because it's very easy to go referencing into many other things. You have a scene in Matthew 23 where, this may be the message today, I don't know, where Jesus just flipped over some tables. He was mad. He had righteous anger. And he was beginning to see that the Pharisees and others that he had hope to bring alongside of him so they would understand that he is the true Messiah, not a political Messiah, but an eternal Messiah. And most of them didn't see it. So he's becoming heartbroken. At the end of chapter 23, he almost talks about, oh, I wish it was like, and I'm paraphrasing, I wish it was like a hen that could coddle and bring everybody here that is denying what I'm saying right now and protect you and hold you because I love you. So the scene's coming down where the disciples saying, whoa, I've never seen Jesus ticked off like this before. Because his heart is breaking, that they're not hearing what he's saying, that he is the true Messiah. So chronologically, if we go by chapter, they're leaving Jerusalem there, right? And a lot of turmoil has been happening, anxiousness. And the disciples begin on the way out of Jerusalem. And it says in verse 20, and you don't have to put up, I don't have scriptures, this is just this morning. Chapter 24, as Jesus left, again, Matthew 24, and was going out to the temple, his disciples came up and called his attention to its buildings. When chaos ensues or unexpected things begin in our lives, we tend to look back to what might be stable. The disciples were looking at what was stable. Jesus, I know you don't like the Pharisees, and we don't either. All this is going on, a lot of unsettledy. But look at the buildings. Look at what we've done. Look at the beauty of these great buildings. How many of us, when things happen, a war that starts, whatever, everything happening last night, and it's nothing new in a sense, we're in that trajectory, but when chaos and things are unsettled, we begin to look in man-made things for stability. This is just in the first sentence, and we'll see where we go. So the disciples are like, look, but Jesus, I know we're upset and this is happening and we're not getting it apparently, but look at the buildings. This is a great architect, beautiful. Then Jesus replied, do you see all these things? We're looking at a natural eyes many times and not a spiritual eye. I know Pastor Ray talked about that a few weeks ago. We're not looking through the spiritual lenses of things. Truly, I tell you, Jesus continues, not one stone will be left here. Another that will be, all of them will be torn down. So this man-made thing they were pointing out is coming down. I encourage you, as I encourage myself, don't get settled in man-made things. This won't fill a church right now, especially Western church much. Don't get comfortable with now. Things are changing. There's a good end to this, but we need to be sober. What weeks and years ago may not be tomorrow. We need to be sober. Because sometimes when things get shaken and shattered, we pray for God to restore it, but it isn't anything He created to restore. So we're out on a limb. Waiting for God. Satan, get behind me. No, he's not even in front of you. You're resting in different things that you shouldn't be resting in. Things are changing. That's what Jesus is saying here. There's a great ending to this, by the way. I'm not building fear here because perfect love casts out fear. This is all God in love doing what he's going to do. He goes on. Then he transitions that. So he says, you're not seeing what I see. These buildings are coming down. While he was sitting, so they move up to the Mount of Olives, Jesus and the disciples. The disciples approached him privately and said, tell us, when will these things happen? That's our human nature, right? I know I am. My parents are coming over. What time? You know, anything that's happening. What time? When's it going to happen? Because we're designed to have resolve in things and control and lanes and things. So the disciples are saying, tell us when is this going to happen? Tell us. And what is the sign of your coming back in the end of the age? As we know, Jesus had been kind of leaving breadcrumbs over the last year or 2 years with the disciples that I'm going to the cross, I'm going to be raised from the dead, thank you, Lord. But then I'm going to be ascended, and then I'm coming back, thank you, Lord. So he's already left breadcrumbs, so they know this. It's out of Matthew 16 when Jesus was talking to them. Then Jesus replied, watch out that no one deceives you. Isn't that interesting? It's his first response. Watch out that no one deceives you. Not stars are falling from the sky, and those things are there. Not, I'm concerned about your soul first. Make sure nobody deceives you, Jesus said. For many will come in my name. We talked about his mighty name, Jesus. Saying that I am the Messiah. And they will deceive many. You don't have to have a title to deceive somebody that you're a Messiah in some way. There's Messiahs not just in salvation. I mean, we're going to get to a point that, this wasn't the message, but we're going to get to a point that many of the world that is lost and doesn't follow Christ is going to clamor on any ounce of hope for something to save them. We're already seeing that. It's in self-help books. It's in self-this, self-that, self-reliance. So what I'm saying is it may not be a church service where a guy comes up and says, I am the Messiah. Come follow me. You know, most of those are cults. We could put them under there. But there are daily messiahs that are on YouTube. There's daily messiahs that are probably in your own life that may be trying to, when things get very dark, that they're a glimmer of, does this make sense? They're a little glimmer of hope. So the people that don't know Jesus and don't hear his voice will grasp onto that and be lost. Holy Spirit. Here we go. You are going to hear of wars. Many around. And rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, Christians, Christ followers, because these things must take place. But the end is not yet. This is so key for us Christian conservatives. For nations will rise up against... It's been a long week. I'm a little sarcastic. But for nations will rise up against nations and kingdoms against kingdom. There will be... Notice Jesus doesn't say there'll be good kingdoms and bad kingdoms fighting each other. Follow me. He's saying nations against nations, kingdom against kingdom. So when kingdoms and nations think they're juster than another kingdom... Lord, help us all. Our intentions might be right, but Jesus was very clear. He says, there's not one big kingdom that's the amazing. There's only one kingdom and one king, and he's coming back. But do you understand that we can take this and say, for nations will rise up against each other. He's not justifying any of these nations. And kingdoms against kingdoms, there will be famine, which we see in some parts of the world. Earthquakes, we see that. And in various places. All these events, this is so key, all these events are the beginning of labor pains. I cannot have kids. Nor do I want to. Bless you, moms. I know we're through another identity crisis at times. But women, is childbirth a beautiful thing, but a painful thing? No trick question, right? Yeah, it's got to be painful. So Jesus is saying the beginning of labor pains. That's why I said earlier it's not the end. But these are the beginning of labor pains. It's interesting, he changes gear, Jesus does after this. Then he goes to verse 9 talking about persecution. So he's answering the disciples' questions, but he's not running right to the entire answer. Because he wants them to see greater things. We need to see greater things when it gets darker. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal things. Then will they hand... This is what he's talking to the disciples. And this is a great thing. Some of the disciples probably said, this wasn't in the Following Christ brochure I read. Then they will hand you over to be persecuted. We're not there yet in great old America, but we will be at some point probably. They will kill you. You will be hated. But people are... I mean, we need to continue to pray for Nigeria. Christians are dying by the day over there because of their faith. Not because of a geopolitics of something. Their faith. And Iranians too. Many Christians were dying of their faith. Will be hated because you'll be hated above all nations. Because what we were talking about earlier. Because I don't agree with you? No, but because of the name of Jesus. It confronts. It convicts. The name of Jesus. In love it does. But when you have defensive things going on, it's hard to see the love. Then many will fall away, betray one another, and hate one another. He gets back to this again. He says, but he calls them prophets now, so he's giving them a better title, I guess. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So he's hitting deception as a big concern towards the end of age. Deception. He said it twice already. Because lawlessness will multiply. We're starting to see that. The love of many, and we already see this, will grow cold. It means they're cold. They're stone. There's nothing. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's a whole other message. I'm not going to land on that today. But the one who will, we have to endure something? Some Western churches don't like preaching that. You guys still love, I'm almost there. But the one who endures the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom, here's his in recipe, this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world, and it's certainly getting there, it seems, as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So in Matthew, make disciples, go around the world, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Get the good news out. Doesn't say when church services are filled and we end on time, will the end come? No. It says when the gospel is preached around the world and you are part of that preaching machine. You can choose not to be, but then you may be deceived, like we heard earlier, all these things. You are part of a messenger to preach. We talked about neighbors. Share the good news. Doesn't mean you're plopping a big Bible down. Hey, this was a gift to me. Should I take it? It's a big print. Somebody gave it to me. This is a hint that I need bigger glasses. So it's not like I got more power. But these are big print. I'm like, oh, is it coming to my age now that I need big print writing? But we, not that you bring your Bible out every time, but you just, you know, follow the Holy Spirit. If we get a chance, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit today, which was the message. Where were we? All right. So that's the end. Follow me. We're not going outside of Matthew 24. Because this becomes a whole series. Go back to the end of the age. But if I follow Matthew 24, Jesus, while he was still on this earth, as a divine human, talking to another human being, I've got to trust that this canonization is a good timeline of things. The end will come. But wait a minute, he's about to talk about the tribulation. Oh yeah. So when you see the abomination and desolation, abomination is referring to, I believe, this one is referring to Daniel 9 more and the vision and dreams he had about, really, hell was running rampant, let's say. There's no holding. There's nothing sacred. Churches, nothing. It's the abomination and desolation. He says, when we see this, spoken by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. So now Jesus is saying, you've got to respond to this. Flee to the mountains. A man on the housetop must not come down to get other things because of the urgency. A man in the field must not go back to get his coat. Woe to the pregnant women and the nursing mothers in those days. Pray that your escape might be in the winter or on a Sabbath day to make your travels to get out. For at that time, there will be great distress, the kind that hasn't taken place from the beginning of the world until now and never will again. Sounds like not a happy day, right? Unless those days were cut short, this is how bad they are, no one would be saved. But those days will be cut short because of the elect. Many of us who follow Christ, the elect. If anyone tells you, he continues, see, here is the Messiah. So while these things are, all hell on earth is breaking loose, I had some notes. I wanted to say something about this real quick. No, we're not going to talk about cash flow and balance sheets. That's another note. Okay. All right. If any of these things happen, anyway, they say that here's a Messiah while the tribulations happen. Over here, do not believe it. For false messiahs, and here he goes again, false messiahs and prophets will arise and even perform great signs. We know in Romans, I believe, or somebody correct me off the top of my head, that when God gives gifts, he doesn't take them back. But anointings can only go so far if they're godly. People will do great signs, wonders, and lead people astray, even the elect, even us, if we're not careful. They'll say, see, this Messiah is in the wilderness. He's in storerooms. Don't believe it. And this is where he turns gears. He says, Jesus is very clear on this. For as the lightning comes from the east, flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. He doesn't need an introduction by a human being. He's coming down. You'll know when he's here. The Almighty God sending his Son to come back. CNN will not need to report it. Even Fox News, sorry. And those other outlets. There will not be any digital need to say who is in the sky. Because our hearts were convicted already that, oh, I'm either mourning, as he says in a minute, because I should have followed Christ. Or my hands are open wide. Savior, come Savior Jesus. I welcome you. Wherever this carcass is, the vultures will always gather because they will make worst of what's best. Coming on the Son of Man, we're going chronologically. He's coming back now. Tribulation, coming back. I know this ruffles some feathers. I'm not getting into theological debates right now. I'm just reading chronological orders of the Scriptures. Can I do that? Verse 29, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not shed its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and that all people, not a few, all people of the earth will mourn, and they will see, as I said earlier, the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather. Thank you, Jesus. They will gather his elect from the four winds and from the end of the sky to the others. He transitions here, and I think this is for us today. Learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branches become tender and sprouts leaves, you know, and thank God on our New Englanders, that it's summer. He's taking a very simple example, and this is key within time things, that summer is near. In the same way, Jesus goes on, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, meaning the return of Christ, and even at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass until these things take place. The debate, theology, because some of the things, I don't want to spend too much time and I'm not evading anything, but the reality is many believe when those walls came down in Jerusalem, it would be 70 AD when Rome took over. That's pretty clear. If he's going chronologically here, they came down. But there's still many walls that are still yet to be coming down, as we know that. Certain generations passing away, the generation of humanity could be in some of that he's doing. Heaven and earth will pass away. Sorry from you heaven bounders. I love you. But heaven and earth are going to pass away, Jesus is saying. But my word, which is Jesus, this leads to Jesus, this is the Bible, will never pass away. So we need to digest this daily and hear what Jesus is saying and speak to and see the lens through Jesus. Now concerning that day, hour, no one knows. Not even the preacher on YouTube. Neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, except the Father alone. The Father alone. He's the only one. As the days of Noah, so he gets into Noah here, so comes the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were all eating, drinking, merry, and giving in until the day Noah boarded the ark. Think of that. Don't get so frustrated with your friends. We want them to find Jesus and follow Jesus, but it may be even as you're boarding, whatever, the symbolic ark of Christ's return. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way of the coming of the Son of Man we will be. The two men will be in the fields and one will be taken and left. The two women will be grinding grain, so this is an illustration with a handmill, and one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, another illustration. If a homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken in. This is why you are also to be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Prophecy that I've given prophecy before, but nobody wants to pull the camera out and record it and put it on Facebook. But my prophecy is today we are closer than yesterday for the return of Jesus Christ. That's it. No phones. All right, I'll continue. I love you guys. All right, so this is key. He's winding down here of chapter 24 in verse 45. Who then is faithful and wise as a servant whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom the master finds doing his job when he comes back. That won't get you running around a room sometimes. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all things possessions. But if that wicked servant says in his heart, my master is delayed, and starts to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink and be merry, that servant master will come one day when he does not expect him to, and at that hour he does not know, the master will cut him to pieces and assign him a place where the hypocrites were, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise God, Pastor Chris. Such a motivating message today. But it is if you have your eyes on the right thing. You see, I want to go back to the fig tree. Oh, wow, this is the message today. I didn't know what time it is. The fig tree. Imagine if Jesus said this. He said, back to the fig tree example of knowing when it's coming. He says, as soon as the branches of a fig tree are tender and sprouts begin to leave, you know summer is near. He didn't say, as soon as you go back into the temple and you connect five dots of different events that are happening in world history and what's happening now, then you will know my time is near. We can get very sidetracked. And people make ministries about exactly what's happening, when it's happening, and prophecies that are probably not prophetic. They're just leaning on little tidbits and taking scriptures out of context. And we're buying and eating that when the final mission is, go spread the good news. That's when I'm coming. So how do we look at this right now? We've just had a big attack on Iran, which is obviously evil. First of all, let me say, no bombs, no guns can cure a spiritual evil realm that is at work. It's our human nature to do that. But the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit allows us to pray in these situations, which we will in a few minutes, about what's going on. Some may say, hey, this is adding up. They're doing this. Okay, if you want to believe that, that's fine. But he said there's wars and rumors of wars and doesn't mean the end at times. He says it could be growing pains. We can all agree we're in the growing pain moment. We're into days where something has to get birth. Two things are going to get birth if you read Scripture and the tribulation. One that is getting birth is evil is going to become more rampant and more mature. If that's even a word for evil. So don't be surprised. That's part of that birth. Because Satan knows his time is limited. And he's going to wreak havoc. We're going to talk today if we got into the Holy Spirit. He's already been judged. If we follow some of the scriptures. And he is going to wreak havoc on whomever he can do. He's been sentenced. He just hasn't been procured yet. That's one birth. So don't lose your peace when you see all hell breaking loose. The second birth is the power of God and actually coming in to shine the light in the darkness. We say it over time, but it's actually your light is going to shine in a darkness. The birth of this is what it is. And it's birthing to a judgment that we all need so we can all truly be living in our redemption that is coming forward. You see, if we're never judged, we'll never be redeemed, technically. We have a judge in our church community. We can, or lawyers. We got, bless you, lawyers. We have plenty of lawyers. A judgment needs to happen, but you don't need to be scared of it if you're following Christ, because you're covered under the blood of Christ and what he did on the cross. And they see, if we're truly following Christ, the judgment is going to be, they're going to see Christ in us. But we have to be following Christ. This is why Christianity as a reference point in my life will not hold weight against the judgment seat of God. I was a Christian. I did this, I did that. But nobody actually realizes it's not really in what you do, it's who you worship. And it's Jesus that does all this because of what the work he's done. And we're his reward as he is our reward. So Christian entitlement will fade away. They'll get hidden in other agendas, campaigns, things to march down and get us totally distracted of us convicting ourselves first of sin as the Holy Spirit should do, and then those around us to say there's a better way and the good news of how much God loves them. Judgment has to come because God's already ordained a beautiful ending that we cannot walk into. We try and sing about it now. We have victory, we have this, and we do. The Holy Spirit is living in you, and victory over healing, all these things are true. But the true victory is that I've been redeemed and reconciled back to Almighty God. That comes out at Judgment Day. And we should celebrate. I don't dance much in here, but I'm saving up my dancing when that happens. Because then the true ending of the world is happening, because then the true things that we get into Revelations more of the wrath of God and things like that, because wrath has to come through judgment and things like that. But for us, and it said it, and Jesus even said, so he calls himself the Son of Man a lot for a very intentional way, and I've said that before why. But he is coming back to gather his elect. Pastor, you believe in a rapture. Well, we're over. I'll see you next week. No. I do, but not in what the Western Church believes. I didn't get into this in the End of Age, so I'm definitely... I do, because there's some reason that when we are judged, we can't be in the mix of that judgment of evil. What that looks like, I trust Jesus. Some will say pre-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, whatever rapture. Thessalonians very clear that we're going to be caught up. I do agree in that. I do, and it's just my opinion. Because you know what? We can disagree till the end. We can love each other and disagree. I've been honest already, right? So I'm guilty a little bit of that. I'm very careful when preachers and pastors preach this big escapism like they're never supposed to suffer in any way. Lord, forgive us. We're in here. You just talked about tribulation, and most of us are still here. If you go by Matthew 24. But if we have to go through suffering, Paul, over and over, many times, we read in Philippians, I think a few weeks ago, or when we were doing the Undistracted session, talks about, I want to know Christ so intimately, not only his death and resurrection, but all his suffering. Because I may be called into that at times. It may not be on a physical cross. It may not. Paul will go on and say, I always preach Christ crucified, because that's all I want to know. I want to go with him when he's going... He's going up to the hill to be crucified when he's thinking of you and me. This was not the message today. I don't know where we're heading, but just when we see things like Iran, there's more to come, and then there's going to be more. I was going to talk about this, and then there's going to be more preachers that fall, right? Plenty, because God is making sure. And this was a prophecy I do agree with. On a gentleman that I respect. He says, as towards it gets darker, God has to make sure his servants and messengers are serving messages on a clean plate. I have no time for games. This is real. And we have many pastors, and I'm not perfect. I hope you know that. But pray for me in the sense of this. You have many pastors who've been given platforms that their character cannot sustain. Especially in the digital, now I'm going off. Especially on the digital age. We're becoming to make pastors on Instagram and thinking that he's a pastor or she's a pastor. She may have a good word, but she may or he may have been called to a local community to pastor. Because God at the end is going to, he's coming for a bride, which is a collective bunch of churches, not solo people at home. I love you guys on at home, but a solo people at home that think their church is five different pastors on YouTube, getting supplemental nourishment for their spiritual growth. You need to be very careful, and I've had to get to this. I don't watch a lot of pastors anymore. I don't want to pick up their mannerisms because, believe me, honey, I'm so unique as myself, right? But I don't want to pick up things that something's fad, something's good, something's doing. But these back on pastors, I wasn't going to go there, and preachers. Their platforms are getting bigger, and they're all well-intended many times, but they're not realizing the level of influence they're having. And if they were never consecrated at the beginning, they're going to have to sustain what their own consecration is building now. And it will run out. So it's bad because then you have non-Christian people say, see, you trusted that guy. Look what happened. Maybe false messiahs in Matthew 24. I don't know. I'm not saying everybody online is that. Please, you're not listening. There's some great teachers that you need to dive into. But you have to always know where your main source is coming from in a church community, whether it's this community or any other church. Because then you're under a covering of authority, whatever's being taught right there. Otherwise, you're just hopping from church to church. It didn't feel good. And I heard this analogy. I'll stop after this. Then we're building Christian cruise ships and not Christian battleships to define and go against hell's gates of what's going on. So you have to be very careful with that. Yes, God will meet your needs, but do you know who you're wanting to meet your needs? Because at the end of the day, He is your need. And that's it. Everything will come through that. Healing, prosperity, whatever needs to come through that. And we've got to not be walking out. We've got to not be walking out like the disciples did with Jesus and said, yeah, but look at these buildings. We're going to get distracted. Every man-made thing is coming down to be restored. Heaven and earth coming together in Revelations at the end of the books there, which is a wonderful thing if you're trusting in the right thing. So don't get to pray. We're going to pray for the Middle East right now. We need to be praying. But don't get lost. You can do what you want, but I would recommend don't get lost in connecting so many dots. I already made my big prophecy that we're closer today than we were yesterday for Jesus to return. Now start being part of our Father's business and what He wants us to do, because that's what Jesus was saying. Pastor, this seems hard. It's a much lesser cost than eternity where you end up and what you're doing. Eternity's a long time. I think next week I may do an example I've seen done before. It's a rope. Francis Chan did this. So great. It's a rope. And the rope will probably fill both sides of the rooms. Maybe we'll do this next week, even though I'm giving it away. And there's a little speck on the rope that none of you will probably be able to see, and that's your life. And the rest of the rope is this visual illustration of eternity. God loves you so very much. He wants to spend that time with you. Not just a little speck. Amen. And use your compass, because next week, I thought we were starting it this week. Use your compass daily. This is your roadmap, the living word of God, and it needs to lead to Jesus. But if you don't have your compass with you, the Holy Spirit, it doesn't know where you are and where it needs to bring you to be. And you're just, your compass is the Holy Spirit. It gives you discernment. It gives you many different things. You need to, if you decide to follow Christ, you are installed with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus leaving said, don't worry, I'm going up to the sky. I'm not leaving you alone. The third person in the Trinity can live in you. Amen. That's crazy. And we're going to talk more about that than maybe probably the next two Sundays. But I want to start in this series, though. It's not starting. You guys got to stand, because if you don't stand, I'm not going to end. Yeah, I'm going to start, though, not where, again, I don't know, just my forte. I'm not starting in manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Those are true. Those work. We saw some of that today earlier. Those will help us. But if we don't start in the foundation of who the Holy Spirit is and what He's come to do, we don't grow any spiritual fruit, and we look for different things to produce things, and we make ministries around it too. So, I mean, just real brief. In John 16, if you want to read that up till next week, that gives you a good menu, let's say, to what we're going to talk about. Because Jesus talks about who He is, the Comforter, the Advocate, all these different things. There's about six of them. But then He says what He does. The first thing Jesus says doesn't say to give you the best winning lottery tickets. He does not say that. He says the first thing the Holy Spirit needs to do is to convict you of sin. And back to preachers, some of us have not really followed the Holy Spirit if we had sin in our lives and be convicted of it. Not condemned by it, because Jesus has forgiven us, but we need to repent, a true repent, and whatever God wants to do to correct that, His will be done, not my 14 steps of how to recover from something. And puts me, I'll leave that alone. Oh, Jesus, thank You, Father. Lord, we just pray right now for the Middle East. Jesus, You walked on some of those streets. You know that is home base for You. And we pray not for specific people in there, but just humanity right now in there. Lord, let Your will be done with peace and whatever it may be. Let those who've been persecuted for following You there be justified, whether it's in this life or beyond. Lord, let Your word be infiltrated somehow into that region greater, so they see a loving Jesus with His arms wide open to say that I am the true way. I am the living bread. I am the living water that can quench your thirst outside of any other religion or any other thing. I am the way. Let them see that in their dreams. Let them see that in correspondence with others. So that area will know who Jesus is above the name. Lord, we pray for leaders that are executing things that are very difficult. Holy Spirit, be in that room wherever that is. Give them grace, wisdom, and discernment. What could be right and wrong when dealing with lives? And let people know that this is a spiritual battle first. Lord, let our region, our nation come together to pray for those moving forward that are involved in these things. Lord, let peace begin to reign in the United States. To know that who the one true God is, You, Jesus. Let us as Christians walk in Your love, not love that we can create in our own understanding, but Your love, sacrificial at times love, to point to You for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you do not know
Jesus... Hi, good morning, FCC family. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm here with my brother in Christ, Steve. What an awesome word by Pastor today, right?
It sure was.
And it was just, you know, talking a lot about the state of current affairs, and there's a lot of anxiety in the world right now, but I don't know if you guys caught this, and when Pastor said it, it really pricked my heart. He said, if the homeowner knew when the thief was coming, he would have been prepared. And I was like, ooh. Okay, that's a sign for me that I need to stay prayed up and be really prepared in my walk with Christ. Anything you want to share, Steve?
Well, first of all, I'm really happy to be with you, Sherry. Thank you. This is going to be fun. And, you know, just we want to have a welcoming attitude for people who are watching.
Amen. So
what I got is Jesus talked about having ears to hear and eyes to see. Mm. He wasn't talking to blind people or people with no ears. He was talking to people who needed to have a sense of what's wise and true and right. And so Faith Christian Center, you know, I came here 28 years ago with a recommendation from someone who was saying, if you want a good word church, go to Pastor Sam's church in Seekonk, Mass. So we did, and we've been coming here for 28 years, 30 miles, you know, round trip from Fairhaven. But it's the right place to be because it's a word church, and the Bible also talks about the word, God's word is even above Jesus' name, which is, you know, a subtle thing about how true and how critical it is to be in a Bible-believing church so that you can get a perspective with wisdom rather than just some intellect or reasoning. So, you know, the idea today of you know, continue to pray and to preach the gospel because the end is near. If Pastor used Matthew 24 as a foundational scripture to, you know, to share with us that it's not a time to panic or to look for kingdoms of a worldly nature or leaders of a worldly slant, but to look to the Bible and to look to God himself and to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not to lean on your own understanding in all our ways, to acknowledge him and he'll direct our path.
And he'll make your path straight. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So,
amen.
So, you know, I love being here because it's like a, you know, I used to be a bartender and the spirit that I got there wasn't the same spirit as here. You don't have a hangover when you come here. You know,
you have a Jesus hangover.
Yeah, you have a Jesus hangover, which is you know, something that you can share with other people.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you all so much for joining us. We would love to see you in person and hug on you Sunday mornings at 9:30, Wednesday evenings at 7:30, 94 Sagamore Road. And if you need prayer or want to reach out, just call our text number on the bottom of the screen, all right? Thank you, everyone. Have a lovely day. Bye.
Peace. See you.